Hi everyone, and welcome.
Excited for today's topic? We're diving into differentiation and personalization in the classroom. Two buzzwords that are so important, but often misunderstood. Should be a good one.
Absolutely. When you hear those terms, differentiation and personalization, they can sound a bit overwhelming, right? But at their core, they're about meeting students where they are and helping them grow from there.
Exactly. Think of it like this. The learning goal is the same for every student, but the pathways to reach that goal can look very different. It's about giving students what they need to succeed, not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right. And I love the metaphor of a teacher with a toolkit. Differentiation and personalization are like tools you pull out to support students in different ways, whether it's scaffolding, offering choices, or using tech to track progress.
Totally. And it fits perfectly with what we see in Finnish-inspired, student-centered approaches to education. Petri Luna Skorpi, for example, talks a lot about how every child is unique, with their own prior knowledge, emotional needs, and ways of processing information.
Yes, and when teachers plan with those differences in mind, not only do learning outcomes improve, but students also gain confidence and are more willing to engage. So, what's on our agenda today, Lisa?
We're covering five key strategies that teachers can use: tiered activities and choice, flexible grouping, universal design for learning, or UDL, using EdTech for personalization, and promoting student agency and voice. Each of these ties back to the idea of meeting students where they are and empowering them to take ownership of their learning.
That's a great breakdown. Let's start with tiered activities and choice. Lisa, can you explain what that looks like in practice?
Sure. Tiered activities are essentially tasks that are designed at different levels of complexity, but they all aim at the same learning goal. For example, in a math lesson on equivalent fractions, you might have one group working with fraction strips to build and identify equivalent fractions, while another group is solving more complex problems or even creating real-world scenarios that involve equivalent fractions.
Ah, so the bronze, silver, and gold approach? I've seen teachers use that labeling to make it more engaging and less intimidating for students.
Exactly. Bronze might be heavily scaffolded with guided prompts, silver could involve independent practice, and gold might require applying the concept in a new way, like solving a real-world problem. The key is to avoid labeling tasks as easy or hard. Neutral names like explore, apply, and create work really well.
That's such a good point. And the choice element? How does that fit in?
Choice strengthens intrinsic motivation. When students have a say in how they demonstrate their understanding, whether it's creating a poster, writing an essay, or recording a podcast, they're more engaged. It's about variety in process, product, or even content, while ensuring the choices are meaningful and connected to real life.
Love that. And speaking of variety, flexible grouping is another key strategy, right?
It is. Flexible grouping means mixing students based on their needs, the task, or their learning styles. For instance, you might group students by similar reading levels for one activity, then mix them up for a collaborative project where everyone brings different strengths to the table.
And I imagine those groupings can change frequently, depending on the goal of the lesson. It's not about locking kids into fixed groups, right?
Exactly. Flexibility is key. You might start with ability-based groups for a specific skill, but then rotate roles or group dynamics to ensure every student experiences both challenge and success.
Got it. Now, Universal Design for Learning, or UDL, takes this idea of accessibility even further. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. UDL is about proactively removing barriers to learning by offering multiple ways for students to access information, engage with it, and express their understanding. It's like designing a building with ramps and lifts from the start, rather than adding them later.
I like that analogy. So, for example, if the learning goal is understanding a story's theme, one student might read the text, another might listen to an audiobook, and a third could watch a video adaptation, all while working toward the same objective.
Exactly. And UDL isn't just about access, it's also about engagement. You want students to feel motivated and included, which means offering choices and creating an environment where everyone can thrive.
Speaking of motivation, let's talk about EdTech. How can technology support personalization in the classroom?
EdTech is a game changer when used thoughtfully. Tools like progress dashboards can help track where students are starting from and where they're heading. For example, a student might use a tablet to work on a personalized learning path, freeing up the teacher to provide targeted support to a small group.
Right, but it's important to use tech as a tool, not a crutch. The goal is to enhance teaching, not replace it.
Exactly. It's about balance. And that brings us to student agency and voice, inviting students to set their own goals and decide how they'll achieve them. When students have ownership of their learning, it builds intrinsic motivation and metacognitive skills.
That's such an important point. So, to wrap up, differentiation and personalization aren't just about making learning easier, they're about making it accessible, meaningful, and empowering for every student.
Absolutely. And for our listeners, if you take just one thing away from today, let it be this: start small. Try tiering one activity this week or experimenting with a choice board. Once you see the impact, you'll be inspired to try more.
Great advice. And remember, it's all about progress, not perfection.